church board, right there. Right there. John chapter 16, Jesus is telling his disciples that he's going to leave them. The best friend that they've ever known. Someone who loved them, even though they were not worthy of that love. They have admitted and been convinced that he is the Son of God. That he is the promised one, the anointed one, the Messiah. And he's telling them he's going to leave them. Even in the valley, God is good. And he tells them some good news. In the midst of bad news, it's wonderful when someone says, but there's some good news. Look, please, at John chapter 16 and verse 7. The Bible says Jesus is speaking here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. I'm glad that God always tells the truth. If you have a copy of the Word of God, hold it up high. That's the truth right there. That's the truth. God tells the truth. Boy, Satan doesn't like people having the Bible. I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Well, that's an interesting statement. You're not able to handle it. He goes on to say in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify who? Speaking of Jesus. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Let's go to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have promised that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. And thank you, dear Lord, that you are the God of the impossible. Thank you, dear Lord, that you are the omnipotent, ever-living, and loving God. I pray now that you would bless our time together, speak to our hearts, and Lord, we give you the glory and the praise for all that you're going to do in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Excuse me, please. Throughout the Word of God, you'll find the Holy Spirit. You'll find him referred to as the Holy Ghost. You'll find him referred to as the Spirit of Truth. You'll find many different names for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter here in this passage, the Comforter. So which is the correct name? Some people would say that there's a move to modernize things, to move away from the term Holy Ghost. And that the Holy Spirit, they always referred to him as the Holy Spirit. Folks, our Savior, his name is Lord. His name is Jesus. His name is Christ. His name is the Lamb of God. His name is the Word. Which one is true? All of them. All of them. My name is Mark. My name is John Mark. My name is Pastor. My name is Husband. My name is Papaw. My name is Dad. Which one of them is true? All of them. All of them. And there's no real designation about Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. But I'm thankful that he is the third person of the Trinity, of the triune God. He is God. He is not a force. He is not an it. I'm so thankful that he is a real person and he's in the world today because Jesus Christ said he would send him to us. And here's the title of the message. The best partner you will ever have. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, is the best partner a believer will ever have. Now, in this passage, we find the term Comforter. We'll deal with that in just a moment. But as we look at these three thoughts very, very briefly here today, you'll find that the Holy Spirit seals, the Holy Spirit stands, and the Holy Spirit sends. If you would, please, I'd like you to jot down this first thought, that the Holy Spirit seals believers. He seals believers. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." The earnest, the down payment, that which is given by God to assure that he will follow through until the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." He seals a believer. Now, I have up here, I like green beans. I've said that before. And I have a can of Del Monte green beans. I'm not exactly sure when, let's see, best if used by, okay, July 20th, 2020. Actually, I bought this can of green beans several months ago. I was going to use it as an illustration with a bunch of other cans I've got back there. And I'm going to take them home and I'm going to have me some beans. But the Lord reminded me that I had this back there. And this is a real nice can because of that. It's got a little pop top. You don't have to have the can opener that gets dull. And you don't have to call your wife, "How do you work this crazy thing? I can't get this can open." Oh, you got to hold it just right. You got to do it this way. And whenever you put it in there, it goes down in, even with the motor going, you can hear a thing that happens. You can hear the seal that is broken. Did you hear that little boop? Okay. Now, folks, guess what? These little green beans have been in here quite a while. And they're just fine. They're just fine. Hey, I've never eaten them out of the can. That's pretty good. Listen, please. There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say, "Okay, I'm ready for you. I'm ready for you. Come on home." He's either going to do that through the funeral director, or he's going to do that through the trump of God and the voice of the archangel and the rapture. And we're going to boop, disappear. And when we see him, that little boop is going to happen. That seal is no longer needed. That seal of protection, of God's saving grace. You see, when God saved your soul, when he saved my soul, he washed me in the blood of Christ. He purified my heart. He made me righteous in the eyes of Almighty God. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit indwelt that believer and he sealed you. And we're in a wicked world. Everywhere we go, there's temptation. Everywhere we go, there's doubt. And there's opportunity for us to fail God. And many times we look back in our life and we're ashamed and embarrassed of things that we did as a believer, after we were saved, and we're thinking, "Oh, dear God, how can you still love me? How can I still go to heaven?" Well, my friend, our spiritual standing before God has been sealed at the day that you were saved. You're as good as when you were put in Christ. Because you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Unto the day of redemption. Now, the Bible tells us that, you know, we should keep our ministry, our testimony, our exterior, our life, our behavior, we should keep that clean. Now, folks, even though this was sealed, there are times that whenever I'm picking a can off of the shelf, if there's a can that's dented and dirty and the label's kind of ripped and it looks like it's been through the war, you know, that kind of thing. And then there's a nice pretty one like this. It's all clean and been kept, you know, careful. You know I'm going to pick the dented one, right? Wrong. And you know, when God's looking for someone to serve him, when God's looking for someone to testify, to be a witness to someone that needs Christ, he's going to want to find someone that's a clean vessel. That on the outside, it matches what he's done on the inside. And we're working to ever live in such a way that we honor and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. And none of us are perfect, but we're striving to that. Because we are on the inside. We are sealed by God. And his Holy Spirit has indwelt us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. That is not an excuse to sin, folks. If you're in the family of God, if you're a child of God, that means you have a father. And the godly heavenly father, he will chasten us and get our attention and do his dead level best to try to keep us in the right path. And by the way, if we refuse and have an habitual lifestyle of sin against God and we're a true believer of Christ, the Bible says that he will turn us over to the destruction of the flesh and to Satan, that the spirit might be saved. He'll say, come on home. You're an embarrassment. He's done it before. He can do it again. So please, please strive to have close and quick confession with God. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9 says, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He seals us. Jude 24, the last book before the Revelation, Jude 24 says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. I have no idea how long these have been in there, but guess what? That seal kept it just fine. And with all the confidence in the world, I stuck that green bean in my mouth. I was happy. I'm going to do it again. It's faultless. And the Holy Spirit will present us faultless on that day of redemption. He seals us. I'm sorry. I've never done that before. Talking to people. That's rude. I don't think I ever do that again. But it was very good. So number one, you got it? The Holy Spirit seals believers. Number two, the Holy Spirit stands with believers. Look back in our text. The Bible says in verse 7, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter. Say it with me. Comforter. In the original language, that's a compound word. It's parakletos. Okay? Now para means side. Side. Kletos means called, one called. It's from where we get the word paraclete, one called alongside. And that comes from the Roman days. That comes from the Roman soldiers. The Roman army, they had a way of conquering. They fought as a group. They fought as a team. They fought as a moving wall. And if hand-to-hand combat came into play, then every soldier had a partner. Every soldier, they had a wingman or whatever you want to call it. They had somebody that they fought beside. And if necessary, they fought back-to-back so that a soldier would trust and know that their back is covered by their partner and they could fight. And that person, that partner, the word that they used was paraclete. One called alongside, my partner. That's where we get the title of the message. The best partner you'll ever have. Whenever I thought about the word comforter, for years I thought this. I thought of a fluffy, warm blanket, a comforter. And that's a good thing. You know, everybody, you know, wants a comforter. Or maybe I thought about a shoulder to cry on, you know. And I thought, well, that's a good thing. It just seemed a little bit weak to me about the explanation of who the Holy Spirit is, the Holy Ghost of Almighty God. OK. And whenever I got into it and saw the meaning of the word comforter, it's far from something you throw on your bed. This is someone who will stand up for you. Now, let's see here. I'm looking here. Who could I? Brother, right back here. Come on, come. Tell me your name again. I'm so sorry. Tell me your name. Dale. Would you come here for a moment, please, if you wouldn't mind? Just come on down front. Come on down front. Don't worry. You don't have to do anything. Now, I'm telling you what. If I was a little bit unsure of what I was doing, where I was going, a little bit unsure about security and safety and all that kind of thing, I'd like to have somebody like this who's got my back. I'd like to have somebody like this. Somebody bigger than me. Somebody stronger than me. Somebody who's able to handle himself. Somebody who you know, could take care of things. my paraclete, the one caught alongside, the one who says, I got your back. I got this. Don't you worry. You just handle the things in front of you because I've got everything else. That is the description of the Holy Spirit that indwells you. He stands up for believers. Isn't that good? Appreciate that, Dale. Okay, now I'll be calling on you, you know, whenever I'm... Okay. He's got my back. Amen. Now listen, folks, I'm so thankful. So thankful that the Holy Spirit of God, He is omnipotent. Now, in Acts, we find in Acts chapter 5, be careful, be cautious, because lying to the Holy Ghost, Ananias and Sapphira lied to God and thought that they could get away with it, lying to the Holy Ghost, and God struck them dead in church. You talk about filling the altars after that. Boy, people get serious about getting right with God. John chapter 20 and verse 22, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost indwelt them. The Holy Ghost could never indwell a believer. Never could indwell anyone in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit rested upon people in the Old Testament and empowered them and used them, but did not indwell them because the sin penalty had not been dealt with. But after Jesus died, rose again, and he presented his blood at the atonement, at the mercy seat before Almighty God, and the penalty for sin was paid, then he could say to his disciples as he came back down and they were in that upper room, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, when you receive the Holy Ghost of salvation, that's the sealing, that's the indwelling, and there's something else that you need according to the Word of God. You need what the Bible calls the filling of the Holy Spirit. Some have called the fullness of the Spirit of God. Now, it's not compared to taking your car and filling the car with gas. That's not a good example, okay? The best example, according to Wiest, the best example is someone getting behind the wheel. The fullness of the Spirit has to do with the Spirit of God in charge of us, in control of us. We got all the Spirit of God that we need when we got saved. But does the Spirit of God have all of us? This comforter, this paraclete, the one called alongside, he will stand with believers. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, and he said these words, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray to God that this not be laid to their charge. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. Hey, man. Just like Daniel in the lion's den. And all throughout biblical history, we see that God has worked great miracles where God sealed a believer. God stands with the believers. And last, the Holy Spirit sends believers. He sends believers. He tells the church to send believers to do certain things. He sends people to this church to do certain things. I was talking with a couple of ladies and earlier, and they were talking about joining the church, that God has led them and given them peace. Let me tell you something. When God leads you to a church, it's because God needs you there in that church. It's not just so that you can be blessed, not just so that you can be fed, not just so that you can receive blessings. It's so that God can use you to reach others. Say, is it important to join a church? I think it is. I think it is. Ask my wife if she feels it's important for me to have married her. It was a statement of commitment. It was saying, this is who God wants me to join with. That's who God wants me to partner with. Someone called alongside. I was pastoring in West Virginia, went out to the car. My mother gave us a Chevy Caprice and went out there to the car one morning and started up. And I mean, nothing, no click, no right, nothing. Well, what's a guy to do? He pulls the hood. I get out. I lift the hood. It's still there. And I'm thinking, okay, what's next? And I look at the battery. Battery's there. I'm trying to figure, okay, I don't have another car and that kind of thing. About that time, I hear a truck pull up. Turn around, and a guy named Dave Herbert pulls up in an old beat up Ford truck, and he gets out. He's a Vietnam chopper pilot, and gets out of the truck. Said, "Hey, preacher, I saw you out here with the hood up. What's wrong?" I said, "Well, the thing won't start." He said, "Well, let me look at it." And he looks over there, goes directly to the battery first. He says, "Wow." I said, "Well, that terminal looks bad. All this corrosion and all that kind of thing." He grabs it and he says, "Oh my, it's loose too." He said, no wonder. He said, "I'll be right back." Goes back to his truck and he gets a wrench and he comes back and he asked me, he says, "You got any Coke?" I thought he was thirsty. "Got any Coke?" I said, "Well, I mean, hey, he's willing to help. I'll give him anything he wants." I don't usually drink Coke, but she has I drink Pepsi, but she had some Coke that she used in a recipe, and I went and stole that little bottle of Coke, and I don't think I even told her about it, but I stole her that, and he wanted a Coke. Jesus wanted water. He wants a Coke. So okay. So he takes that Coke and he does something I've never seen before in my life. He takes it and he pours it right there on that terminal. And something started happening. It was something like a science project I did one time when I made a volcano. Vinegar and baking soda, you know what happens, right? Okay? So he poured it on that, and it just started fizzing and all that kind of thing. And he just wiped all that gunk and all that stuff and corrosion that had grown on there. He just wiped it off. I think that's another reason I don't drink Coke. I'm sorry. Don't mean to offend. He tightened that thing up. He said, "Try it now." And boy, I got in. Boom! Fired right up. Now listen, please. All the pieces were there. I needed somebody to come alongside me who knew what they were doing. Someone who could fix the situation. To come alongside. And God sent him. God's already given you who you need. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, His name is the Holy Ghost. His name is the Comforter. His name is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth. And He's within you and He goes everywhere you go. He sees everything you see. Why would you harm? Why would you hurt? Why would we grieve someone like that who will be the best partner that we could ever have? Who will guide us and help us throughout our life. He seals us. He stands with believers. And He sends us through triumphs. And He sends us through trials. Now folks, I'm so thankful that the good times that God gives us far outweighs the bad times. In fact, why don't you, I dare you sometime, to take a piece of paper and to draw a line down the center. And on the first column, write the word blessings. On the second column, write the word burdens. You say, are there burdens sometimes for believers? Yes, there are. Jesus Himself said, He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He does the heavy lifting, folks. He's on the other side of the yoke. And He says, "My burden that you're going to carry, my burden is light." But there are burdens. There are burdens. Many times we take so much for granted. If you have two legs and two feet that work, you ought to thank God for that. Because, Miss Sharon, some people don't have two legs and two feet, right? If you have two eyes that you can see and you can focus and you have depth perception and all these kinds of things. What a marvelous thing. Thank God for that. Because Ms. K, some people don't have two eyes. Some people don't. If you have a child that just drives you bonkers, and they're running everywhere, or maybe they're grandchildren, and they're just on your last nerve because you turn around and they're gone. And what are they doing? They're into something. And they're into just, God tells them to wiggle. God tells them to do stuff. He gives them energy. And they're driving you crazy. Thank God for them. Because Kenny and Patty, some people don't have a little one running around. They're in a wheelchair or they're in a hospital bed. And you long for the thought of them getting into a little mischief. You long for that. Folks, if go down the list and start praising God and thanking Him for the blessings. Start on that column. And then move over to the burdens. And be honest about the burdens. And put them down there. And put them down. My friend, you probably won't get 4 or 5 on the burden list before you set the pen down in shame and embarrassment. You say, God, you've been so good to me. You've been such a blessing. And you're going to see me through these burdens. And these are real and they hurt. But Lord, I know that you're going to help me through it. Amen. The best partner you'll ever have. And the Bible reminds us, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve Him. The self-will, the selfish desires, the sin in our life. If we would just say, God, I want to please you in everything that I do. If you'll stand with me, if you'll stand for me, I'll stand with you and I'll stand for you. You've sealed me to the day of redemption. So if the worst possible thing happens to me, I'm in your presence. That's taken care of. That was paid for at the cross. Therefore, Jesus said, it is finished. Now, my friend, if you don't have that finished work of salvation in your heart and your life, you need it today. Because I'm telling you, we're living in the last moments of the last days, I believe. It would be horrible to be sitting in a church service like this, in a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God, in a church full of born-again believers. It would be horrifying to all of a sudden just blink and they're gone. And you look around and there's 3 of you left. And you're all asking the same question, what do we do now? My friend, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You're not promised tomorrow. In fact, you're not promised a safe trip home. You're not. But you are promised the gift of salvation that's offered right now at this moment. In a moment, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to close our eyes so that you can focus on the Lord speaking to your own heart. And when we do that, if you don't have your reservations secured and the Holy Spirit indwelling you and sealing you unto the day of redemption, why don't you invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior? Why don't you ask Him to come into your heart and life? Put your faith and trust in Him and Him alone. Not your baptism, not your church membership, not your good works, but what He did for you upon the cross. And what He'll do for you, your name will be in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He will seal you at the very moment of salvation. I don't do that. He does it. And He does it right every time. I ask you today, what's keeping you from being saved? And if you're a Christian, what's keeping you from walking with the best partner that you could ever have? If you're a Christian, you might know a lot about God, like the theologian teaches in religion in a college. You might be able to recite a lot of things about God, but they don't know God. You might, as a Christian, know a lot about the Holy Spirit. You might be able to quote verses and all this kind of thing. But do you know the Holy Spirit? Do you know His voice in your heart? Can you recognize His leading? Do you talk with Him? Say, I never heard of such a thing. You'd better. He's your paraclete. He's the one called alongside. He's the one that indwells you. He's that still small voice within you that is not your thoughts. He's not your conscience. He's far better. The best partner you'll ever have. You say, well, I don't hear voices in my heart, preacher. Is it because you have pushed him aside and pushed him in the background and chosen our own way and our own sin and enjoying this world and trying to keep one foot in the church and one foot in the world, and the Holy Spirit's back here in the corner of your heart and your life, and he's grieved and he's sad and he's sorry. He's not being listened to. So he quit speaking. That's a dangerous way for a Christian to live. I'll just tell you. It might take the death of a loved one. It might take the loss of a job. It might take the loss of a home. It might take a diagnosis of a terminal illness to get us to crumble and hit our knees before that same God and say, God, where are you? I'm sorry. Don't make him do that. There's no need for that. No need for that. Now, if those things happen in your life and the paraclete is walking beside you, the comforter is standing up for you, and he says, don't worry, I've got a much better house for you waiting, and by the way, I'm going to provide for you down here too. If the worst thing happens down here, you have the omnipotent power of Almighty God beside you. If you're not saved, you do not. He is against you, but he wants to be for you. He wants to be in you. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The best partner you'll ever have is the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. If you would say, I do not know that heaven is my home. I do not know that the Holy Spirit indwells me. I want that, preacher. I want the forgiveness for my sins. Preacher, would you pray with me? Would you help me? I certainly will. But it's your heart and your prayer that God will hear and that God will answer. Would you pray something like this? Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you rose again from the dead like the Bible says. I have all my heart and life. Save my soul. I'm trusting you, Jesus, to take me to heaven when I die. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one's looking but me. The Bible says that whosoever believeth in me shall not be ashamed. If you would say, preacher, as Bessa knew how, just a few moments ago, I did pray that prayer with you, but I prayed it to God. I asked him to save me. I've got good news for you. If you meant that, God meant what he said. That your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your reservation is secured. And guess what? There's that little sealing that happened within your heart and your soul. And the Spirit of God indwelt you. That's what the Bible says in the authority of God's Word. I'm rejoicing with you. How many would say, preacher, I prayed that prayer and asked Jesus to save me just then. No one's looking but me. Slip your hand up and take it right back down. I prayed that prayer. God bless you, ma'am. Who else? I prayed that prayer just then, preacher. Just slip it up. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want to rejoice with you. Praise God. Who else? Who else? I prayed that prayer just then, preacher. I asked Jesus to save my soul. Anyone else? I'm looking. This is not part of being saved. I just want to rejoice with you. I want to give you an opportunity to thank God for the gift of salvation. Anyone else? Anyone else? As a Christian, I ask you this question. Believers, some of us have been trying to impress God by all the things that we're doing for him. When the Holy Spirit is saying, I will enable you if you will come my way. If you will work alongside of me. How many today would say, preacher, I live my life many two days, without the Spirit filling, without the fullness of the Holy Ghost in my heart and my life. I don't want him just on Sunday. I want him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I want to follow his leadership. I want to hear his voice. I want to please Him. God will give you fruit that remains. If you say, preacher, as a believer in Christ, that's my desire. That's my goal. Before God, I'm asking that that would be my habit of my life. From this day forward, that's what I want. More and more, I want to surrender to Him. Would you slip your hand up, Christians? Hands all over. My hands up too. My hands up too. God bless you. Put your hands down. Let's stand together, please. Heavenly Father, as we stand before Thee here today, I ask You that You would please bring Christians to a point of surrender, a place of obedience. And Lord, there's no greater joy than walking with the best partner we'll ever have. And He walks with me and He talks with me and tells me I am His own. Lord, there might be some Christians, many of us who need to bow the knee, many who need to come today and say, Lord Jesus, anew and afresh, revive me in this matter of Spirit-filled walk. Revive my heart, not just in the things that I do. I might be teaching a Sunday school class. I might be helping build journey sets. I might be doing many things in the church. But, oh, dear God, it's all for nothing if I do it in the power of the flesh. Lord, I pray that every moment of every day I seek to please and honor You. May there be a new commitment. And Lord, I pray for those that received You as their Savior. I pray, Lord, that this would be a very real decision in their heart and their life. I rejoice with them. Lord, those that need to be, come and unite with us today, if You're leading them, make it clear, I pray. And Lord, I pray that You would have Your will and Your way in all of it, in Jesus' precious name.